Commenting on Psalm 121, David Burns writes, "This psalm begins at the point of departure. A destination is in sight, and it looks to the pilgrim as if God is calling for him, or he at least hopes to find God at that destination. The pilgrim sees the hills, but is a little intimidated at the challenge. He cannot make this journey alone and wonders where to look for confidence and support." Is this what it was like for Nicodemus, that dark night when he went searching for Jesus? Did Nicodemus sense that his journey into God could not be made alone or in the same way as it had been in the past? What is it like for us, this journey into God, this exploration of faith, day after day, week after week, year after year? We come to church, we study, we read, we pray, we seek. How do we find and know God? How do we find and know who we are for God? And how do we find and know God at the different stages of our lives, when the answers of the past are not enough and we long for a lived experience of the holy? Is that what it was like for Nicodemus? Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a leader, a teacher, he knew a lot, but he'd been hearing about Jesus, about these signs that Jesus had done. Could there be more? Could there be more? And so he goes to Jesus to learn. And what Jesus tells him is confusing. No one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Also translated, being born again or being born anew. Nicodemus then tried to understand this in terms he had already known, these worldly terms, in an exact sort of way. How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can anyone enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? Being born again. How do you feel when you hear that phrase? Many of us are here today in the Episcopal Church having been so turned off by Christians who told us we had to be born again. I can never forget what I went through in college. It seemed like these people were all over the place. I'd be trying to get some lunch and somebody would come up behind me. Have you been saved? Have you been born again? Often they had, if not always, very specific things in mind, or that it could be as simple as some formulaic prayer that would make it all okay. Nicodemus is trying to figure out how this works. Can it be a prayer? Can it be something he can get his hands around, an idea he can understand? But Jesus responds by lifting him and us into the realm of angels, where our rational minds are perhaps not the primary vehicle for understanding. No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. The wind, the spirit, blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. We hear Jesus say that we can't see the kingdom or enter it without being of the spirit. This is not primarily about heaven. This is about being part of the kingdom, the reign of God now, being able to see it, being able to be part of it. In our confirmation class, the discipleship study that will happen after church today, we're discussing this day, as it happens, just this matter, because one of the marks of mission, one of the ways of being a disciple, one of the ways we are to be for God in the world, we are to be those who speak about this kingdom of God, this reign of God. We're to speak of it. We're to be able to show forth through our actions and our lives what the kingdom of God, the reign of God, means to us and for us, and how we feel it connects with others. We tell. We have good news to share. What is your good news to share? When have you felt most alive or at peace? The answers to such questions can help us hear the sound of the wind, the Spirit moving about. Through baptism, we are born again. We are born anew and marked as Christ's own forever. By water and the Spirit, we begin a new life in God. But what we realize as we grow is that we continue to be born again, made anew, again and again, by the Spirit at work in our lives. In our lives as individuals, as members of a family, as members of a faith community. Baptism is the beginning of this journey into God as a Christian, but it is only through the years and in community with others that we are formed more and more to see, to be able to see this reign of God and proclaim the great gifts of grace associated with God's reign: peace, justice, healing, hope, love. We need each other for support when the forces of darkness seem to gain a foothold. We need each other to discern the movement of the Spirit in our lives, in our community. For that wind, that Spirit, blows where it chooses. We hear it. It's there. It's here. We're not sure. We don't know where it comes from or where it's going. This is the mystery we live into together. This is the time of year when we live into this mystery by living Lent together with God. As our hymn before the gospel said, "We join, O Christ, your journey these solemn 40 days." These are solemn days and not easy, because these days lead to the cross. Our hymn concluded by saying, "Christ, keep your cross before us till ours we daily bear, and walk with you to Calvary, the pain of God to share." Some people have so much pain in their lives that they cannot understand why we would want to walk this solemn way and share the pain of God. Others perhaps have not begun to deal with their pain, and all of this Lenten focus on stripping away and getting to what is real and dealing with the pain has no appeal or is simply too scary. But in the events of Lent, in this time, and particularly as we get to Holy Week, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, this is where God shared our pain and gave it all for our salvation. And again, I'm not talking primarily about heaven, but salvation now in all the suffering of our lives and our world, so that we can see and know and tell of eternal life now, to experience what we call those first fruits, to experience what one day we will know in its fullness, when we no longer see in that mirror dimly, but see God face to face. I think some in our church and the Episcopal Church generally have a hard time with Lent because of a pesky doctrine. Do you know what I'm going to talk about next? A pesky doctrine that has influenced much of our traditional language about salvation, that of substitutionary atonement. And you might be thinking, it's not Good Friday, why do we have to hear this? It's a little early, but maybe we can get there together if we start today. So this is the idea that Jesus had to die because of my sin and yours, that we could not satisfy the debt we owe to God because we're so sinful, it's impossible, and only Jesus, the sacrificial lamb, only he can take our place, be our substitute, that only Jesus could satisfy God who required that Jesus die for our sins. A lot of people still believe this in one way or another and may think I'm a heretic for what I'm about to say. But really, and I know this is a simplistic way of describing something people did spend a lot of time thinking about, but really these are ideas that men came up with as a way to explain the mystery, using the violent, unforgiving ideas of their time, which persist into our time. These are not ideas unknown to us. Maybe I can get you to come to our Good Friday service by reframing this for you now. Back to our hymn. Christ, keep your cross before us till ours we daily bear, and walk with you to Calvary, the pain of God to share. God, Christ, died on the cross because our world is full of scared, violent people trying to hold on to power. It didn't have to be that way. God didn't want Jesus to die. But that's how it played out. That's what happened. And one could say there was no other way for it to go based on how humans tend to be. But it was that way, that is what happened, and thereby Jesus shares our pain, our suffering. God came close and lived and died as one of us to be with us, however that was going to turn out, to help us, to save us. Because Jesus lived and died and rose, we have a way. He is our way to be united. To be united, to be one with God, reconciled in that sense. When I hear the Eucharistic prayer that Christ's blood was shed for the forgiveness of sins, I also always hear that his blood was shed for the healing of the whole world. And so during Lent, we live into this great, big, sometimes painful mystery of love. As we journey with Jesus to the cross, as we share his pain, we realize that he shares our every pain. He makes it possible for us. He makes it possible for us to bear our cross without being crushed, because he carries it with us. Amen.